Hello and welcome to The Paul Garcia Show, where I have conversations with the remarkable people from the Central Illinois area. Today my guest is none other than Kelly Gerber, a Fairbury woman who is seriously competitive in the sport of barrel racing, who is a fantastic real estate agent, and also a fantastic mother and wife. Today we're going to learn how Kelly got into the sport of barrel racing, what exactly barrel racing is, how she got into real estate, what she's learned about the art of selling, and what it's like to be a mom while also doing all these other things, and much, much more. This episode was a lot of fun to do, and I can't wait to share it with you. If you enjoy this show, though, and you want to support it, simply liking and sharing this video will help out a ton. Also, visiting the show's sponsors and telling them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you also helps out a lot because, you know, it lets them know that their money isn't going to waste. If you're so kind that you actually want to directly help fund the show, please consider becoming a patron on patreon.com/Paul Garcia for as little as $1 a month. It's a fantastic way to help fund creators' work, and there you can watch tons of exclusive bonus footage. You'll be among the first people to gain access to the show's live streams and unedited versions of each and every episode, like this one, and much, much more. If exclusive footage doesn't wow you and you're still a kind soul, you can also donate straight up to the show using the Venmo app at username The Paul Garcia Show. Lastly, if you think the show deserves a 5-star rating, you can leave us one on Apple Podcasts as well as a written review. You can also leave us a rating on the Facebook page. That makes me feel really nice, so if you do that, thanks. But first, before we begin, turn your attention to your spine and your back. Are you all zigzaggy and sore? Are you slouching maybe? Well, that might be because you are sitting and sleeping on ugly, old, worn-out beds, couches, and chairs. It's time to do your body and your eyes a favor and get some comfy and stylish new furniture from the one and only Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois. These guys have been sponsoring the show for quite a while now, and I like them a lot, and I think you will as well. So when you decide to do away with those ancient artifacts that you call home furnishings, head nowhere else but Fairbury Furniture in downtown Fairbury. All right, now without any further ado, here is my conversation with the one and only Kelly Gerber. Kelly Gerber, thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You do a lot of cool things, I think. You're a real estate agent. You're a real estate broker. You are a very competitive barrel racer. You're a mother. You're a wife. You also have this farm with the horses and stuff. So that's a lot to have on your plate. How do you keep that all balanced?
I just try to be very organized. I have a lot of lists. I have a calendar with things down on it. Lots of stuff in my phone. It is hard sometimes to keep it all. I have to make a lot of lists. I have to keep things very organized to make sure I've got everything that I need on a daily basis because everything changes. I don't have a set schedule. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of typical of anyone who successfully manages a bunch of different moving parts in their lives.
Yes.
How are you going to do that without being crazily organized?
No, you can't. You can't. There's too many details that I have to take care of every day with the horses and entering things, deadlines, vet appointments, stuff with my daughter at school, transactions with real estate business, making sure I've got everything under control. So I try my best.
Dang, it's making my blood pressure rise just thinking about all that. So let's break this thing down and start with one of the big aspects of your life, which is, I believe, barrel racing.
Yes.
You're competitive in barrel racing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you have your own horse. Is it one horse or do you have multiple horses?
We have 6 horses. 5 of them I can compete on. 3 of them are finished horses that I can go and make runs on. 2 of them are younger horses that I'm still kind of training and hauling, getting used to everything. And then we have one older mare who's the brood mare. And
what is a mare?
A mare is a female horse.
Okay.
So we have her around to have babies. And then we also have a pony named Peaches for my daughter, Josie.
Okay. Does your daughter, Josie, then, does she also do barrel racing?
Yes, she does.
Okay, actually, I've seen a video of her.
Yes.
That was the funniest video I've ever seen. I was watching, like, some of your videos of your barrel racing events, I guess is what you would call them.
Mm-hmm.
Or runs, maybe.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the next video is, like, this little girl on a miniature pony.
Yes.
I was like, what is that thing? I didn't know horses could look like that.
Yep. So she's had her since September, and she just really got into riding last summer. She had a pony a couple years ago and had kind of a bad experience with the pony and was scared for a while. I was a little worried that she wouldn't want to get back on at all, but we did have an opportunity to borrow a friend's pony at a barrel race. So she, after that, it was, I mean, that was it. Then she was obsessed with it, and we ended up with Peaches in September, and I try to take her as many places as I can.
Something we talked about before I hit record is it seems like in rural areas, it's not uncommon for young girls, I will say young girls specifically, to develop a kind of obsession with horses. Yes. And I don't know exactly why that is. Do you have any guesses as to why that is?
I don't know. They're just that majestic animal.
They really
are, running
yeah.
through the field with their mane blowing. I don't know. They're like your best friend. You go out and love on them and pet them, and it's fun to ride them. But I grew up with horses, so I never had that like yearning for one, because I always had one. So
young girls can develop this fascination with the horses. Mm-hmm. They are majestic. They look a lot like unicorns without the horn and stuff like that. They're pretty awesome animals. But when I think of horses, I think danger. I'm a little scared of them. And it seems like you've had some experiences. Actually, everyone in your family, your husband Will, who is a really awesome guy who I know personally, you and apparently Josie, your daughter, have all kind of had some, have experienced the danger of horses firsthand.
Yes, they are very dangerous, and they can be. And anyone that has horses for a long period of time has most definitely had a negative experience of some kind. You know, horses are not mean. They're not trying to hurt you. They're just a 1,000-pound animal, and they have a mind of their own, and accidents happen. You know, stuff happens real quick, things that you're not thinking of. You can be as careful as you can, but stuff still happens.
Just for people that don't know what barrel racing is, I didn't really know what it was until a couple weeks ago. I mean, I could kind of put an image together of what it was, but could you explain what exactly barrel racing entails?
Sure. There are three barrels set in an arena with a timeline at the beginning, and you run your horse as fast as you can around the cloverleaf pattern, and the fastest time wins. And if you hit a barrel, it's a 5-second penalty, and in some places, it's just a no time. So you can rock them, but you can't knock them over.
Mm-hmm. So the sport's pretty simple on the face of it. It's a timed obstacle course, really.
Yeah.
And you say you run your horse as fast as you can.
Yes.
Something I've noticed in watching like post-race interviews of these barrel racers is they often don't give any credit to themselves, but they say the horse was like feeling it this day. It was doing good.
Yep.
And they use like even these emotional terms, like he or she was ready to go. Their heart was in it. I'm like, what's going on here? Is how much of the success you have in barrel racing is attributed to you as the rider, and how much is attributed to the horses?
Oh, so much of it is the horse. So much of it is the horse.
Like percentage-wise, what would you say?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, 80, 90% of it, I feel. The best rider in the world, if you're not on a good horse, you know, I can't make them win. I can't make them be better than they are. And on the flip side, if you can't ride very well or you don't ride aggressively enough, I mean, it can impact your time. If your head's not in it that day, or you're afraid of something happening, you're not riding to your potential, then no, your horse doesn't usually do as well. But on the flip side, growing up, I had some horses with some lameness issues, some things that I couldn't really do anything about. I mean, I was doing everything I could, but I couldn't control all of it, so we did not do very well. So the horse is a lot of it. And I always give all the credit to my horse. I'll say that De Niro won the barrel race, or that he worked well. I don't usually say that I won it. I don't know. It's just the way that we word it, I guess. I give him all the credit for it.
You said your horse's name is De Niro.
Yes.
And this is a hot topic. It's not a hot topic. It's the only thing that I have a problem with in the horse racing community is the names of the horses. It gets, I don't know why, like the names have verbs in them a lot of the time, like rising with the sun or winning it all or something, which is a confusing one because I've seen videos like congratulations to so-and-so. and winning it all. And like, I thought they're saying so-and-so won this championship, yeah. but no, they're just saying congrats to the rider uh-huh. and the horse whose name is winning it all. Uh-huh. I just don't, how's come no one names like their horses something normal, like a one word thing like Fred, you know, names.
So we have a barn name. So De Niro is his barn name, but his registered name is DHR What a Money Man.
Interesting.
So that is huh. taken a little bit from the mare side, a little bit from the stallion side, and you come up with this, with the registered name. So that's on his registration papers. So wow. if you look him up, you know, that's how we keep track of him. There's a million barn named De Niro horses in the world. Mm-hmm. So they all have a registration number, a registration name. And there's a thing called Equistats, which keeps track of money won on your horses. So if people mm-hmm. record that money, then it goes under your horse's name. It's kind of a record of what they've done. So yeah. another purpose of to use a registration name.
That's very interesting. I had no idea horses had a barn name yeah, yeah. and a registered
just
name.
Just a nickname. So I don't go out there every day and say, hey, DHR, What a Money Man.
That explains a lot. That's cool.
This show is sponsored in part by Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm offices in Fairbury and Gibson City, Illinois. Do me a favor and go Google Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury and just look at his ratings. 56 reviews, all 5 stars. You don't earn that kind of reputation for just being okay. See, Greg and his teams in Gibson and in Fairbury are all incredibly friendly, intelligent, and so, so helpful. If a goofball like me can go sit down with Greg Kurtenbach for just 15 minutes and suddenly learn the ins and outs of health, life, and car insurance, then so can you. They say that the task of genius is to make the complex simple and easy to understand. And if that is truly the case, then Greg and his entire team are truly geniuses. And you'd be a genius too if you called up his office in Fairbury at 815-692-3673 and just asked them how much they can insure, say, your car for. If you ask that, they will give you a free quote right then and there, and you'll be like, wow, that was extremely easy, and that's actually a lot less than I'm paying right now. It literally cannot hurt to call. Oh, and if you didn't know also, Greg is a celebrity. In addition to his face and mustache being on a massive billboard on the west end of Fairbury, you've probably seen this commercial that State Farm aired a few years back. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why so many people from the area are calling up Greg's offices, getting free quotes, and proudly making Greg their new agent. So for quality insurance, great prices, and impeccable customer service, just call up Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury at 815-692-3673 or call up his office in Gibson City at 217-784-8343. And be sure to tell them that you heard about them on The Paul Garcia Show.
Okay, how'd you get into this sport in the first place?
I had no choice. I grew up in it. My mom and my aunt ran barrels. My grandpa trained horses, and he team roped, calf roped. And then my dad on the other side, he ran barrels also when he was younger. And he got into roping, team roping, calf roping. And then he trained horses his entire life and did some barrel racing as well. So as long as I can remember, I've been on a horse.
You said your dad did barrel racing.
Yes.
That's interesting. I have yet to see a single video of a male yep. barrel racer. Why is
yep.
that?
There's the Women's Professional Rodeo Association, and mm-hmm. that is what competes at all the, or that's the association that runs at all the big rodeos. So if you see the national finals on TV or any of those big rodeos on TV, it's all women that are running. Mm-hmm. A lot of fraternities. So there's events for 4-year-old horses. A lot of trainers are men, and a lot of the open barrel races that you go to for everybody, there are a lot of men.
Really?
There are certain places in the United States that are more women than men, but there are a lot of men that run barrels, and they're very successful and have won a lot of money. So
I apologize if there's any male barrel racers and I didn't know of your existence.
Yes,
and you're watching
yeah.
this.
So my dad did very, very young, and he trained a lot of barrel horses. So like I said, a lot of trainers are men.
Well, there's other really impressive, cool things you do in your life, but before we move on to those, I want to ask, if you don't mind, about kind of that incident that you had with the horse that I had no idea about mm-hmm. until we were talking before this episode. Mm-hmm. What happened with you in that horse? You said you were like putting him in the trailer. Yes. Or maybe taking him out of the trailer.
So I was getting home from a barrel race, and Will and Josie were home because Josie had to go to school the next morning. It was a Thursday, and it was maybe 2 a.m, and I was unloading the horses, and I went to get the last horse out, and we have drop-down doors in the front of the trailer that you can open, and I can unhook them from outside so that when I get inside, they're loose. But I couldn't get the door open. And I thought, oh, this will take 5 minutes. So I get in the back, and I open the partition, and as soon as I opened it, she started to fly back, and she hit the end of that rope, and she reared up and started thrashing around the trailer. And it threw me into the partition. Don't really remember everything that happened. I was on the ground. I was underneath of her, rolling around.
Oh.
And I got up, and I was pinned between her and the next partition. I ended up on the other side of her. So I squeezed behind her, and the pain started setting in my entire body. And I closed the door so she wouldn't get loose. If she did do that again and get loose, I didn't want her running around in the driveway. I made it to the car, and I came to the house and just started like yelling for help. Finally got me settled down. I did fall asleep, but I went to the hospital the next day, really not for my head, but my whole body was just hurting so bad. I thought maybe I broke some ribs.
It's like you basically got the crap beat out of you, right?
Yes, like, it was like a car accident, like if your car was rolling. That's kind of what I compare it to, because that's what I felt like. I was just being tossed around and hitting things. I didn't really know what all I was hitting. Mm-hmm. But when I got to the hospital, I realized they found out that I had a brain bleed. Everything else was fine, but they just kept me overnight, sent me home, but the pain got worse and worse. It was just worst experience of my life, worst pain. I had to get in the ambulance and go back down to the hospital like the next day, and it was really rough for a couple weeks. I found out later I did have whiplash on one side of my...
That's no joke. You know, oh my gosh.
That I hit my head this way, and I strained everything on this side. That's why I had so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
So about a month later, then I woke up one day and I couldn't walk straight, and I had some numbness in my arm, and my eye was a little droopy. And after some appointments, found out that I actually had a stroke from a tear in a vertebral artery in my neck. Mm-hmm. So then that was another, you know, prolonged recovery from that. So...
Just curious, when you woke up that morning and stuff was not working as it should, what was your mind like? Did you have any like mental issues going on?
No. I was completely like cognizant of everything, knew what was going on. I never had any issues with that. Never had any balance issues after that. Never, it didn't affect my riding, anything.
Or speech
that.
Or anything like that. Uh-uh. Thank goodness. It's, if you're going to have a stroke, you might as well have a stroke that doesn't affect those things.
Yeah, and I had no idea. I just, the initial doctor thought it was just post-concussive syndrome, and I was just having some weird symptoms. And they sent me home and told me to come back Monday. But I went to my eye doctor because the eye was still bothering me. I didn't like what was going on, and it had been bothering me that whole month. And other people had said, maybe you need to go have that looked at. And it was my eye doctor that actually said, you need to go have an MRI right now. And that's when we found it. So I was very, very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Very lucky.
Were you scared to get back on a horse after that?
I was worried that it wouldn't feel the same, or I would feel off. They told me to wait 6 months, but of course I waited about a month. Just to get on a horse, I just wanted to make sure it felt okay. Like, that really, really bothered me, that I was going to get on and my balance would be off, or that I would have some pain or feel bad. The same with my back. I think I landed right on my back, my hips in the trailer. I'm not real sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of pain. I worried about that bothering me if I sat in a saddle. It was really, really bothering me. So I had Will saddle up one of the horses. I'm like, I just need to get on, walk around the arena, and just know that it's okay. And I felt completely fine. So then I didn't get back on for a few more months, but I just needed to have that peace of mind that it was going to be okay, because I really worried about it changing, you know, what I do on a daily basis. So
right. Yeah. Dang, you must really love horses in this sport. If I were you, I remember I got bit by a dog when I was younger, and for like years I was like, screw dogs,
you hate
man.
Dogs.
I don't want any part of. I don't want to pet them. Uh-huh. I don't want to be near them. There's nothing. That's impressive. Yeah. So yeah, you must really love horses.
Oh yes, yes. It's my life. I've formed my whole life around it. My whole family is involved in it. It's what we do. I can't imagine not being involved in it.
And this, I don't know if this is okay for me to do. I think it is.
This show is sponsored in part by Forest Edge Tree Service. Although winter is past, the damage that it's done to all of our trees is here to stay. If those trees haven't fallen yet, get ready, because just a few strong winds will lead to downed limbs, trees, and power lines, causing massive damage to your homes, cars, and properties. Face it, your yard is no place for looming, dead, or damaged trees. It's just a matter of time before one comes down, and whether by your choice or not. This is why you need to hire the excellent services of Forest Edge Tree Service. If you have trees or tree stumps that you want gone, simply give Joe Rudin a call or text at 815-615-3037 to get a free quote today. Forest Edge Tree Service is fully insured and staffed with trained professionals who use cutting-edge equipment to get the job done right. Keep your family, pets, vehicles, and neighbors safe by being proactive with your land. It'll save you money in the long run and help you to avoid all the headaches of unplanned downed trees. Be a responsible adult and call or text, if you don't like talking on the phone, Joe Rudin with Forest Edge Tree Service at 815-615-3037 to schedule your free quote today, and let them know that you heard about them on The Paul Garcia Show.
Will, we're talking about your husband Will now.
Uh-oh.
He rode horses when he was younger,
yes,
as well too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was also a big-time wrestler. I was surprised to know how much he rode horses,
yes,
when he was younger. Is that how you guys, how'd you guys meet? Does it have something to do with horses?
Yes, it did. It had to do with our dads, because my dad was training horses, and Will's dad had a horse for my dad to train, and he brought it to my dad to train, mm-hmm, and my dad actually broke his leg, got hurt, and Will's dad had to come back over and pick the horse up. Well, the first time he dropped the horse off, they started talking about, their kids and what they were doing. And so, mm-hmm, then dad tells me about, this person
this guy
over
says
in
he
Fairbury.
Has a son.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, whatever. So maybe a month later, my dad broke his leg and Bud had to go back over and pick the horse up. Well, the hot topic again was my son. He moved home from law school and he's going to be living in Fairbury, and dad did the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to hear about it. And the very next day I got a friend request on Facebook.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So
it's funny.
That's what
Will is smooth, huh? Wait, so where were you living at? Are you from this
area?
I'm
from Onarga.
Okay.
So it's 35 minutes from here. And actually, when I was working, I used to be a speech pathologist, and I was working at the school district in Edgar West. And I think Will was just leaving for law school, and his dad brought a different horse over then. That was years before, and I think Will was with him even at the house, and I wasn't home. I have no idea that they were even there. It's just funny how those things turn out.
Well, that's
later.
An adorable story.
Oh, isn't it?
Simple question. Why do you enjoy barrel racing then?
There's so many different reasons. I grew up doing it, so I learned a lot about it very young. So it came a little more easy for me than other things. I love horses. I love animals. I'm very competitive, so I like the competitive aspect of it. I like to go fast. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy just riding on a nice evening in the summer with Josie and Will outside. I like piddling around with the young horses, getting them ready to start hauling. I like hauling the young horses and watching them grow and progress. There's just all kinds of things that I love about all of it. We have a lot of mm-hmm. friends that I consider like family that we see on weekends. I've met just tons of people all over the United States. We get to travel. So there's just all kinds of things wrapped up into that.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. It seems like a nice lifestyle to have.
Yes, yes. It's hard. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work. There's no real days off. You know, they have to be fed and taken care of every day. We had that real bad cold spell in February here.
That's right, yeah.
And I was getting ready to go down to Texas to a big barrel race, so I had to keep going outside and riding and doing the different things I need to do to get them ready to go. So it can be challenging, but I love it, and I wouldn't want to do anything else, really.
That's cool. That's very interesting. I might have to get on a horse one of these days.
Yes,
you
yes.
make it sound actually enticing. So
you can do that. You can do that.
You said that you like, I think you said, you like going fast
yes.
on the horses.
Yes.
They're actually pretty intense to watch, those yes. races. I enjoyed it. Like yeah. I was like kind of leaning forward. Just seeing that horse come out like in a forward lean and just booking it. And
yes.
the person on top like
yep.
leaning down. Just zoomed. It's a short race, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's intense. I love my big gelding. He's so much fun to let go. You know, I'm holding the alleyway and I let him go. It's such a rush. He's so powerful.
What do you mean you let him go?
Like I'm holding him up in the alley. Like
in the
I
alley.
Wait. So you're coming into the arena.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So before I come to the arena, I got to get him in position, a good position to get to that first barrel. And so I bring him up where I want to let him go, and then. I mean, he's, you know, he's all jacked up and he's, you know, ready to go. And I let him go and it's just a huge lunge. And then you just lean over and just start kicking. So
yeah,
that's fun. I like
that. Horses are gnarly animals. They are just fast and powerful.
They
it's
are.
Crazy. They're like a big thing of muscle.
Yeah. No, they are.
And just so huge, powerful, and fast. It is. They're awesome to just watch run.
Yep.
I get almost pumped up just
yep.
watching this animal run.
You'll have to go ride a horse, Paul.
Yeah, one of these days for sure, once I can get over my maybe irrational fear of them.
Oh.
I don't know. I've heard too many stories of injury at this point. It's like...
No. I mean, for as many years as I've been doing it and the different horses I've been on, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, like I said, everybody has accidents. And if you've run barrels long enough... You've fallen off, you've had horses fall with you, you've been bucked off, you've had the crazy things happen. You know, they're big and they're moving around all the time and they run into you, they step on your feet, they, you know, you just have to be careful.
Other than your barrel racing career, your main career, I believe, is being a real estate agent.
Yes.
And I think that's really cool, actually. Mm-hmm. I love the whole real estate business, which is an yes. odd thing to love and not be a part of, I think. But I've read books by Ryan Serhant, who is like a real estate guy in New York. And I think the whole process is fascinating. Why, though, are you in that business?
Well, I kind of fell into it. Like I said before, I was a speech pathologist at a school district. And in 2012, I believe, we were approached with an opportunity to purchase Fair Real Estate in town. And we have our nice little office on the corner of 24. And
you're talking, when you say we, you mean
Will
you
and I.
You and Will.
And so Will got his real estate license and he moved his law practice into that building. And I started kind of learning a little more about real estate. I would go to kind of our monthly meetings, things like that. But then I had my daughter in October of 2013 and realized I didn't really want to be driving back and forth over to Iroquois West every day is 35 minutes, and the horses were still at that time at my parents', so it was just a long day. So I decided that at the end of that year, that school year, the 13-14 school year, I would quit and go get my license. So I started actually selling in January of 2015 and kind of took over taking care of things in the office. Will, by that time, was the managing broker of the office, so it was just a few of us.
Huh. So you said Will was a managing broker. Did he still have his law firm at that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
You guys just like love being overwhelmed with things to do or what?
No. That's partly why we ended up merging with Keeley Real Estate.
Is that what happened? Okay.
It's because he just could not be present as a managing broker. If I needed anything, I mean, he's just way too busy, way too busy. Another part of it was that it was a conflict for him to do closings for our real estate clients. So it was kind of the concept of double dipping into one transaction. So we would have to farm all of our closings out to different attorneys, even if they were his law clients. So it started just not making sense anymore. So now we work together on almost every transaction that we have. Either he's representing the seller or buyer in some way. And it works out really well. I feel like we're able to get things done a lot more efficiently and quickly. So yeah, I really enjoy it down at Joe's office now.
This is an interesting world. Selling people their homes is a big deal. I would imagine that it's challenging. I've seen firsthand people in the process of buying homes, and it can be wildly stressful for them. I mean, talk about buying a car. Imagine buying a home and, there's not many more big decisions than
that. No, it's one of the biggest, it is like one of the biggest purchases you'll ever make in your life. And yes, it's very, it can be very stressful. So that's what I try so hard is to try to make it as less stressful as possible, because it is. There's a lot of things that go into it. I try to communicate with people pretty frequently, try to calm their fears, try to put out fires before they happen so they don't have so much to worry about. So, yeah, it's a very complex situation.
Do you feel like people go through like the same series of emotions, like from client to client? Do people kind of go through the same things when they buy a home? Like at first they're pumped up and they're like, yeah, all right. And then they're like, what did I just do? This show is sponsored in part by Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal. Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal offers a full array of services that ensure that your critical plumbing, HVAC, and electrical systems will continue to operate at peak performance for many years to come. The Popejoy name has been servicing commercial and residential customers in Pontiac, Morris, Streeter, Braidwood, Coal City, Dwight, Fairbury, El Paso, Gibson City, Lexington, Shenoah, and Gilman, Illinois since 1984. At Popejoy, their elite-level team works hard to ensure that your homes and businesses remain comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient all year round. No matter what service you're requesting, you can rest assured that every Popejoy service technician is properly trained and certified. Their comfort advisors and technicians participate in ongoing factory-sponsored training classes, so they understand the latest installation and repair techniques. So, for top-quality plumbing, heating, electric, and geothermal services, call Popejoy at 815-496-5181 and let them know that the Paul Garcia Show sent you.
Everybody's different. Some people are like that. Some people are not as emotional about it. It's more of an investment thing. Some people are just excited the whole time through the whole thing. Every transaction is different. I have never had one transaction that went the same as another one because you're always dealing with different people. You're dealing with different real estate agents, different lenders. Every client is different. The houses are different. You have to deal with inspections with different inspectors. It's always different. It's always changing.
I feel like just you acknowledging that fact that everyone's different and they're individuals and it's not one size fits all. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
No.
I feel like that would make you a better real estate agent and someone that people looking to buy a home would want to work with.
I would hope so.
So you're not just like, you know, applying the same template to each person.
No, no. I mean, overall, the whole thing is I try to make it as an easy situation for them as possible. It's going to be stressful, but you know, communication is key. Letting people know all the time what's going on and kind of what to expect. I try to give them lots of scenarios of things that could potentially happen just so they're more prepared. It can just be really overwhelming.
What's a valuable skill to have to succeed in the world of sales, whether it be real estate or anything?
To be approachable.
Approachable.
So that they'll come to you if they're having a problem. They'll come to you if they're having a great day, too. You know, they'll come to you with a problem, a question. They feel comfortable with you. I feel like that. I try to be that way. So, you know, I'm not too busy for you or I don't have time to find out that answer for you. I want to be a friend to them in that transaction. You know, somebody that they can count on, they can trust to try to take care of problems. You know, I'll say, don't worry about that. We'll get it figured out. Let me contact that person so they don't have to be doing all that stuff themselves. Just trying to put their mind at ease.
That's really nice.
So I'm very conscientious of that. I try to put myself in their shoes on both sides. You know, sellers are anxious about getting the house sold. buyers are anxious about getting the house bought. I try to, you know, calm their fears, and a lot of it is giving them those scenarios of, you know, I want them to be prepared of what could potentially happen. I don't want to blindside them with, you know, bad news. Mm-hmm. And it happens. It just does.
There's a difference between someone like a car salesman and a home salesman, I feel like. I don't know, and again, no offense to any car salespeople out there, but when the quantity's higher and they're looking to sell more of these still expensive things, mm-hmm. I feel like they don't have the time to put in that, you know, to be approachable and to be, yes, super friendly and to help, uh-huh, as much as, uh-huh, you are when it comes to buying a home. Like, I feel, uh-huh, like you probably don't sell, unless you're just a killer salesperson, I don't realize it, you probably don't sell as many homes. Well, I'm sure you're great, but maybe you don't sell as many cars as a car salesperson.
No, I'm not mass producing them every day. Right. No, you develop a relationship with your client. You need to find out their needs, especially when they're looking for a home, what they're looking for. You know, you find out more about their family, you know, why they're moving. It can become very personal. And I mean, I take my time with them. If we have to look at 10, 15 houses, then that's what we do. And if they ask about a house, if I truly feel like it's not a fit, you know, I'll tell them that. I'm not going to push them to buy something that they're going to be unhappy with. And the same with a seller, I'm not going to push a buyer on them that I feel is going to, you know, this might fall through, or that financing sounds a little shaky. I like to be upfront with them and,
yeah,
you know, avoid problems in the future.
I feel like being that way, I mean, if you weren't that way, if you were a little maybe dishonest, or you, yeah, let some sketchy things, yeah, go through or whatever and made false promises, it would just come back to bite you anyways. Yes. You get some bad reviews.
And it's not worth it. That's, yeah, not worth it at all. You know, I really enjoy my job. I value my job. I worked hard to get where I'm at now. Mm. And I take pride in how I work with my clients. And it is business, but sometimes it's hard not to take things personally. I get upset if something's not going well, or I, you know, mm-hmm, worry about stuff falling through or things happening. So I just feel like I work really hard at trying to please my clients, to try to do the best I can for them.
I feel like now would be a great time to plug your Instagram page, Kelly Gerber Realtor, where you post all the images of your new listings and stuff.
Yes, and I have my Facebook page as well, Kelly Gerber, Keeley Real Estate. So I have all my listings and solds, mm-hmm, and some other fun little housing information that I post on there too. So
that's cool. I find, yeah, myself looking at those posts. I don't know why. I'm not in the market, but that leads me to my next question, though. Just curious, what's the housing market look like right now? I assume you would know before many other people, yes, who think they know.
It is a seller's market for sure. Last year with COVID, things went crazy, low interest rates. People started buying houses left and right. We still have a lot of buyers looking for houses, but the inventory is just low in this area. So, for instance, last week I listed a house in town on Thursday. It sold on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So people are just looking, and we don't have enough houses. Everything sold. Mm-hmm. So it means the ball is kind of in the seller's court right now.
Interesting. So if I'm looking to sell my house, now's a good time.
Now, if you want to sell your house, now is an excellent time to put it on the market.
Huh.
Yes.
And I hear they're selling at, just because my sister's looking for a place, and I know, mm-hmm, that some houses, like, they're selling at a higher price,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Why is that?
We're getting multiple offers in on homes, so to be competitive, people are raising their amount that they want to put down on a house. So,
huh,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
great time to be a seller.
It is. I know it's all going to come to an end at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know when, but for right now, we're just going to take advantage of it and keep plugging along and, yeah, selling what we can. So,
besides the real estate and the barrel racing, mm-hmm, perhaps I would assume your most important career is being a mom,
yes,
and being a wife.
Yes.
This is probably the most non-specific general question I've ever asked on the show, but,
okay,
what is that like? What's the experience of being a mom? It's a foreign world to me. I don't know what it's like.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I just love her to death. She's tons of fun. You know, everybody says, oh, they grow up so fast and it's sad. And but I've enjoyed every stage of her life. You know, she's super fun right now. She's in first grade and she's learning so much and she's learning to read. And so everywhere we go, she's reading things on buildings and signs, and it's really exciting. And now she's getting more involved in the horses and she's out in the barn with us all the time. And it's just tons of fun.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about reading. Something I've learned from this show alone and talking to tons of people off the show is that there's a correlation between the really smart individuals that have fared really well in life. A commonality, I guess, between them all is that they loved reading. I don't know why that is. What the connection between just reading words in books and becoming a really intelligent individual. I guess if the information that you're reading is smart people stuff, I guess it'd make you smart.
I think it's just a drive to learn, to want to know more. She didn't really care about reading much, you know, earlier in the year. And it was hard. We had remote learning and we had all that stuff going on. But now that she's getting a better grasp on it, she's wanting to read every night. We get home from school, she's wanting to read books. She has a log that she keeps and times that she puts down. So now she's all about reading. We kind of got over that hump of struggling a little bit. Now she's like smooth sailing and she really enjoys reading. So that makes me happy.
What was it like throwing motherhood? And I don't know if being married is like another huge time commitment. I don't know. But what's it like throwing being a mom into that mix of you already had a busy life.
Yes.
Now you have to incorporate a child into the thing. This show is sponsored in part by PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, Illinois. Jiu-Jitsu is the fastest growing martial art on the planet, and it's an amazing workout and it builds confidence like you wouldn't believe. When you go to PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, you will quickly learn how to take someone down, how to submit your opponent, and how to defend yourself on and off the mats. At PSF Legacy, you'll gain a sense of confidence that only comes from knowing that you can honestly defend yourself in the event of an attack or if you ever have to defend someone else. PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu's instructor is Jared Game, and he still competes on the national jiu-jitsu circuit. He's smart, patient, friendly, and tough as nails. The team here is constantly growing, and they are so warm and welcoming. So learn jiu-jitsu, get in great shape, gain confidence, and even make some friends, all at an unbeatable monthly price. Call PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu at 217-637-4699 or message them on Facebook at PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu and be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you.
It was overwhelming to think about at first, but you just do it. Like you just make, you know, the arrangements, you get stuff done, you make the time, your schedule changes, you just do it. And I have a lot of friends that we've talked about this too. You know, we worried about that, you know, with everything that we have going on, but literally like as simple as it is, you just get it done. Like you just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like a motivational phrase right there.
You do.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, to put a little religious spin on this, I feel like this is just me. You trust in God, and if you're doing something good that God wants you to do, like maybe having a family, he'll kind of give you some grace or some assistance in the whole process.
No, I agree with that 100%.
I've heard that being a parent is probably the most challenging thing, but it's also the most rewarding thing. Is that fair? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Why is it rewarding? What's rewarding about it?
Oh, just watching her grow, the things that she picks up just from what you do on a daily basis. I'll hear her or watch her do things. You know, they're always watching and listening and learning. And that's just so fun to watch. I'm so proud of her with the pony, you know, really loving it. I see that she loves it like we do. And she tries so hard. And before she runs, she'll say, I'm getting butterflies in my stomach. And then she's getting a little competitive too. Like she wants to do better the next day. She wants to, you know, have her time be better than the day before. And she wins a little bit of money too. So we go up and we get her money.
She wins money?
She not much.
Well, that's a unique part of the sport.
She won $18. It's not much.
That's awesome.
But she thinks it's great. But yeah, the money part of the whole sport, that's the big the big driving.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen posts where people are like picking up checks and stuff like that. I'm like, checks? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't just do it for fun.
Oh, you couldn't. It's, horses are so stinking expensive.
No, the whole thing is expensive. Your truck and trailer, your vet bills, shoeing bills. There's all kinds of therapy and things that we do for them to keep them feeling well, just like an athlete, just like a football player. They have chiropractic care. There's massage.
How do they chiropractic care on a horse?
Yep.
By a person?
Yep.
How do they crack the horses?
They do. they do. They can stand on a stool and work up over their back. They do different stretches and things with their legs, with their neck. Horses have a lot of issues up on top of their head. They call their poles right between their ears. They can have TMJ problems with their jaw. There's just neck. I mean, it's just like a person, an athlete.
Wow.
So you have to keep on top of all of that stuff.
I love watching chiropractor videos, as weird as that is, on YouTube with people. I don't know why. I just like seeing people go in like messed up and then get cracked. It's satisfying. I'm going to have to look up videos of horses getting like adjustments
done.
And
we have one that comes here, so I can let you know sometime. Yeah, you just come out here and watch. You come out and watch.
Do they get them in like a big old chokehold or something? Like,
they will up over their head and kind of put their head over top of them, and they'll, and you can hear it a lot of times. You can hear
very cool.
And I mean, I have a lot of like instances where I noticeable difference afterwards. So, I mean, some people are like, oh, that's not doing anything, but it really does. It really does help them. And when I'm running them, I get them worked on about every 4 to 6 weeks just to keep them feeling good. They have to be feeling good. It's too competitive for them to not be feeling good.
Right. Just like any athlete that's serious in their sport.
The times are too close. You know, there's too many
like
good
thousandths
horses.
Of a second.
Yeah. So we have different like therapy modalities I use. I have a TheraPlate, which is a vibration plate that I will use with them. And then we have a MagnaWave machine, and it's called Pulse Electromagnetic Field Therapy.
Whoa.
And it's these tubes that we can place on the animal, and there's a machine that they're hooked up to, and it pulses that magnetic field through, and you can feel it. And we use it on ourselves too. It can reduce pain, inflammation, help the healing
this
process.
This is actually some science that's kind of ahead of its time, I feel like.
So
I've heard about this.
Different chiropractic offices use it on people. Mm-hmm. So we got one last fall, and I got certified in using it. So that's something else that I can do for other people as well. And it's kind of moving into the livestock area too. So show cattle, show pigs, rodeo livestock are using that modality now. So anything I can do to help them feel better.
Yeah, anything to get an edge, it seems like. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Really quick, you said that, of course, you don't do this just for fun.
Yeah.
There's money involved.
Yes.
How much money are we talking? First of all, how much can you win, like, at the highest stage? And then how much is a darn good horse? How much will that run you?
So winning the money, it depends on where you go, what kind of events you go to. We were just in Texas for an enormous event. It's called the American Rodeo. And it's kind of complicated to explain, but ultimately you have an opportunity to win $1 million. That's like your high end. If a cowgirl would make it to the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, you know, she could win a couple hundred thousand in a week. Easy. The things that we go to, like last weekend, they have a small amount of money, like $1,500 added, and I think first place paid over $500. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the weekend places that we go, I can win $2,000 to $3,000. That's running a couple horses. So,
this might be personal. I don't know. What's the most money you've ever won?
Like
in one event.
I won. It's called the Bonus Race Finals. It was out in Lincoln, Nebraska, and there were about 1,400 entries in it, and it ran over the course of about 4 days, and I won that. And I think it was a little over 8,000 that I won.
Did you beat all 1,400 other horses?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Holy cow, that's incredible.
The biggest thing that we've won. The year before, I actually got reserve. I got second. Uh-huh. And that was super exciting. I was ecstatic. And then the very next year, we went, and he actually won it that year.
This horse out here, De Niro?
Yes, De Niro.
What's his name? Not DMT. I don't know what his name is.
De Niro. That's De Niro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's his registered
name? DHR, what a money man.
Yeah. DMT is like a drug, but whatever. Oh, and how much would a horse like De Niro cost if you were to sell him right now and he just won that big race?
He's getting a little bit older, so I wouldn't get as much for him now, but when he was, you know, he's in his prime. I like to call it his prime right now, but if it was 10 or 11, you could easily get $100,000 for a finished 1D horse that's winning. People give $30,000-$40,000 for a horse easily. So yeah, it's a big money game.
That is so cool. I mean, the stakes are high in the sport. Apparently, yes. There's a lot to win. There's surely a lot to lose. I'm sure most people don't profit from the sport, given how much money has to go into it.
Yes, yes. I'm fortunate enough. The last several years, I have been able to make money with the horses. It's constantly evolving and growing. It's huge now. Of course, I've done this my whole life, but growing up, it was just a flat. The first, you know, top five win money. You know, that's it. First through fifth place. Now they've changed it to divisions. So they have four or five divisions. So people that are slower or on a young horse or maybe you're older, can't ride one of the top horses, they still have an opportunity to win money. So it's just made it huge, which is why you get 1,400 people at a barrel race. So
Kelly, you've done a lot of cool things and you've won a lot of big races and you have a lot of important things going on in your life. Mom, barrel racing, wife, and real estate agent. Do you have anyone that you'd like to thank for getting you just to this point? Because it's pretty cool where you're at.
Oh, my parents and Will, of course. He supports me 100% and he helps me so much with traveling and getting things ready to go. I wouldn't be able to do all the things that I do without their support. With his support, same with my parents, you know, if we can't take Josie with us, if it's going to be really cold or really hot, things like that, they'll watch her. They help us with the horses. If I need to take a horse over to their house to watch, they help with all of that. My parents and my husband and Josie for putting up with long nights and long drives and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a village. To keep you going. I've got some great vets and a shoer, and you got to have all those people on board to keep everybody happy and healthy and going. So,
right on.
Yeah.
Well, man, we touched a lot of things. I learned a ton in this conversation. And Kelly Gerber, just thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed this conversation with Kelly Gerber as much as I did. I very much want to thank all of you for watching and for supporting this show. If you're already subscribed to the podcast on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, brilliant! And if you're not, please do subscribe to the show on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. On Apple Podcasts and Facebook, you can leave us a 5-star review if you think we deserve that, as well as a comment reviewing the show. If you found this episode entertaining, educational, or in some other way useful, I encourage you to share it with your friends on Facebook. To see this whole episode uncut, as well as a whole lot of other exclusive bonus footage, become a patron on patreon.com/PaulGarcia. If you have anyone you'd like to see on this show, you can always send me a message or leave a comment on this video. Until next Sunday, I'm Paul Garcia. You're listening to The Paul Garcia Show. God bless and have a great week. Hello and welcome to The Paul Garcia Show, where I have conversations with the remarkable people from the Central Illinois area. Today my guest is none other than Kelly Gerber, a Fairbury woman who is seriously competitive in the sport of barrel racing, who is a fantastic real estate agent, and also a mother and a wife. And also a fantastic mother and wife. Today we're... Today we're going to learn how Kelly got into the sport of barrel racing, what exactly barrel racing is, how she got into real estate, what she's learned about the art of selling, and what it's like to be a mom while also doing all these other things, and much, much more. This episode was a lot of fun to do, and I can't wait to share it with you. If you enjoy this show, though, and you want to support it, simply liking and sharing this video will help out a ton. Also, visiting the show's sponsors and telling them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you also helps out a lot because, you know, it lets them know that their money isn't going to waste. If you're so kind that you actually want to directly help fund the show, please consider becoming a patron on patreon.com/PaulGarcia for as little as $1 a month. It's a fantastic way to help fund creators' work, and there you can watch tons of exclusive bonus footage. You'll be among the first people to gain access to the show's live streams and unedited versions of each and every episode, like this one, and much, much more. If exclusive footage doesn't wow you and you're still a kind soul, you can also donate straight up to the show using the Venmo app at username The Paul Garcia Show. Lastly, if you think the show deserves a 5-star rating, you can leave us one on Apple Podcasts as well as a written review. You can also leave us a rating on the Facebook page. That makes me feel really nice, so if you do that, thanks. But first, before we begin, turn your attention to your spine and your back. Are you all zigzaggy and sore? Are you slouching maybe? Well, that might be because you are sitting and sleeping on ugly, old, worn-out beds, couches, and chairs. It's time to do your body and your eyes a favor and get some comfy and stylish new furniture from the one and only Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois. These guys have been sponsoring the show for quite a while now, and I like them a lot, and I think you will as well. So when you decide to do away with those ancient artifacts that you call home, furnishings, head nowhere else but Fairbury Furniture in downtown Fairbury. All right, now without any further ado, here is my conversation with the one and only Kelly Gerber. Yeehaw! I said yeehaw because of the horses. This show is sponsored in part by Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm offices in Fairbury and Gibson City, Illinois. Do me a favor and go Google Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury and just look at his ratings. 56 reviews, all 5 stars. You don't earn that kind of reputation for just being okay. See, Greg and his teams in Gibson and in Fairbury are all incredibly friendly, intelligent, and so, so helpful. If a goofball like me can go sit down with Greg Kurtenbach for just 15 minutes and suddenly learn the ins and outs of health, life, and car insurance, then so can you. They say that the task of genius is to make the complex simple and easy to understand. And if that is truly the case, then Greg and his entire team are truly geniuses. And you'd be a genius too if you called up his office in Fairbury at 815-692-3673 and just asked them how much you can insure or how much they can insure, say, your car for. Because if you ask that, they will give you a free quote right then and there, and you'll be like, wow, that's extremely easy. Wow, that was extremely easy, and that's actually a lot less than I'm paying right now. It literally cannot hurt to call. Oh, and if you didn't know also, Greg is a celebrity. In addition to his face and mustache being on a massive billboard on the west end of Fairbury, you've probably seen this commercial that State Farm aired a few years back. On the west end of Fairbury. You've probably seen this State Farm commercial he starred in a few years back. I personally think it's way better than those Jake from State Farm commercials, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why so many people from the area are calling up Greg's offices, getting free quotes, and proudly making Greg their new agent. So for quality insurance, great prices, and impeccable customer service, just call up Greg Kurtenbach's State Farm office in Fairbury at 815-692-3673, or call up his office in Gibson City at 217-784-8343, and be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Paul Garcia Show. This show is sponsored in part by Forest Edge Tree Service. Forest Edge Tree Service. Although winter has passed, the damage that it's done to all of our trees is here to stay. If those trees haven't fallen yet, ooh, get ready, because just a few strong winds will lead to downed limbs, trees, and power lines, causing massive damage to your homes, cars, and properties. Face it, your yard is no place for looming dead or damaged trees. It's just a matter of time before one comes down, and whether by your choice or not. This is why you need to hire the excellent services of Forest Edge Tree Service. This is why you need to hire the excellent services of Forest Edge Tree Service. No job is too complicated for these folks, and if you have trees or tree stump... No job is too complicated for these folks. If you have trees or tree stumps that you want gone, simply give Joe Rudin a call. Joe Rudin at Forest Edge Tree Service a call or text at 815-615-3037 to get a free quote today. Forest Edge Tree Service is fully insured and staffed with trained professionals who use cutting-edge equipment to get the job done right. So make your property safe and beautiful with a tree service that you can trust. These pros take pride in their attention to detail and in their cleanup, and in their relationships with their customers, which is why they are Livingston County's premier tree service provider. So keep your family, pets, vehicles, and neighbors safe by being proactive with your land. It'll save you money in the long run and help you to avoid all the headaches of unplanned downed trees. Be a responsible adult and call or text, if you don't like talking on the phone, Joe Rudin with Forest Edge Tree Service at 815-615-3037 to schedule your free quote today, and let them know that you heard about them on The Paul Garcia Show. This show is sponsored in part by Popejoy Plumbing. This show is sponsored in part by Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal. Popejoy Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and Geothermal offers a full array of services that ensure that your critical plumbing, HVAC, and electrical systems will continue to operate at peak performance for many years to come. The Popejoy name has been servicing commercial and residential customers in Pontiac, Morris, Streeter, Braidwood, Coal City, Dwight, Fairbury, El Paso, Gibson City, Lexington, Chenoa, and Gilman, Illinois since 1984. Here they understand the Midwestern values of honesty and integrity. At Popejoy, their elite-level team works hard to ensure that your homes and businesses remain comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient all year round. They even have a line that you can call 24/7 for emergencies. So no matter what service you're requesting, you can rest assured that every Popejoy service technician is properly trained and certified. Their comfort advisors and technicians participate in ongoing factory-sponsored training classes, so they understand the latest installation and repair techniques. So, for top-quality plumbing, heating, electric, and geothermal services, call Popejoy at 815-496-5181. And let them know that the Paul Garcia Show sent ya. This show is sponsored in part by PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, Illinois. Jiu-Jitsu is the fastest growing martial art on the planet, and it's an amazing workout, and it builds confidence like you wouldn't believe. When you go to PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal, you will quickly learn how to take someone down, how to submit your opponent, and how to defend yourself on and off the mats. At PSF Legacy, you'll gain a sense of confidence that only comes from knowing that you can honestly defend yourself in the event of an attack, or if you ever have honestly defend yourself in the event of an attack, or if you ever have to defend someone else. PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu's instructor is Jared Game, and he still competes on the national jiu-jitsu circuit. He's smart, patient, friendly, and tough as nails. The team here is constantly growing, and they are so warm and welcoming. So learn jiu-jitsu, get in great shape, gain confidence, and even make some friends, all at an unbeatable monthly price. Call PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu at 217-637-4699 or message them on Facebook at PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu, and be sure to tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent ya. And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed this conversation with Kelly Gerber as much as I did. I very much want to thank all of you for watching and for supporting this show. If you're already subscribed to the podcast on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, brilliant! And if you're not, please do subscribe to the show on Facebook, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And if you're not, please do subscribe to the show on Facebook. And if you're not, please do subscribe to the show on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. On Apple Podcasts and Facebook, you can leave us a 5-star review if you think we deserve that, as well as a comment reviewing the show. If you found this episode entertaining, educational, or in some other way useful, I encourage you to share it with your friends on Facebook. To see this whole episode uncut, as well as a whole lot of other exclusive bonus footage, become a patron on patreon.com/PaulGarcia. If you have anyone you'd like to see on this show, you can always send me a message or leave a comment on this video. Until next Sunday, I'm Paul Garcia. You're listening to The Paul Garcia Show. Until next Sunday, I'm Paul Garcia. Thank you for listening to The Paul Garcia Show. God bless and have a great week. Until next Sunday, I'm Paul Garcia. You're listening to The Paul Garcia Show. God bless and have a great week.